We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We are starting our show today on a bit of a somber note. It is a day of mourning here on the Team 980 and in the greater Washington, D.C. area. We are laying to rest something that has been very important and very meaningful to us, to me, to Max, to Kevin, to you, the listener. We've grown very close over the past few weeks, months, but life and death, they come for all of us. We've laughed, we've been angry, we've been confused, all three of the basic human emotions. At a time like this, our skill as radio hosts is being tested. To quote Billy Joel, only the good die young. So with that, we lay to rest the sports radio topic of trading Terry McLaurin for TJ Watt. I appreciate all the kind words, DMs, and tweets. We do not have refreshments in the lobby because I ain't paying for y'all to eat. But you may leave. Thank you. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. TJ Watt got paid yesterday. I had a lot of fun, Max, watching Kevin, because I believe he was the first one in the market to bring this topic to the masses, taking a lot of calls on it, of the question of should they pay or should they trade Terry for TJ Watt. That is now done. When TJ Watt gets paid, the magnitude that he got paid yesterday by the Pittsburgh Steelers at like 4 p.m., $41 million per year. You ain't paying somebody $41 million a year to go turn around and trade them. So that topic is now done. It is buried. I shed a single thug tear. Just one. Not just multiple, one just one. I'm happy for TJ Watt. And I feel like now at this point, Terry is next.
Please God, let that be true.
I feel like Terry is next. This is going to be the subject of our poll question. At the Team 980 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at the Denton Day. Do you think that Terry gets paid before training camp? It's very simple. Two options. Yes, no. I don't want to hear something about midway through. No. Very simple. Do you think that Terry McLaurin is going to get paid before training camp starts? Yes or no? Go vote on that. We will take your calls on that as well at 301-230-0980. Was there ever really a correlation between Terry and TJ Watt? Was a trade ever going to matriculate? No, I don't think that was ever going to happen. Because if you're Pittsburgh, you're not trading away the guy that has been the face of your franchise since the departure of Ben Roethlisberger. I know they went out and they got Aaron Rodgers, but it's 2025. He's not the face of your franchise. This is a one-year situation for Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know how good he's going to be in 2025. Kevin and I felt very differently about the way that he played in 2024. Wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. So with them paying TJ Watt, the next logical thing, at least in my mind, as far as the overall NFL offseason calendar is concerned, would be Washington paying Terry McLaurin. I am expecting that this is going to happen very soon. Not a report. It's a gut feel. I like to kind of swing a little bit emotionally sometimes.
As we all do.
It's a gut feel that Terry's contract is going to get situated soon. Because now feels like the point in time where everyone is talking. TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, well, they clearly are talking. They got that contract done. Terry had said earlier this week at Eastern Motors, in what has now become an infamous press conference, that the two sides weren't talking. My guess is they have now at least begun conversations. Don't know that for a fact, but as we get closer and closer to training camp, there is an urgency that comes with that. Crunch time, as Terry put it earlier this week, but there is an urgency that comes with it because I know they want him in camp. I know he wants to be in camp. He still can be, whether the contract is signed or not, but this is the way that business goes in the NFL. If you want a new contract and you do not have a new contract, you generally tend to sit out at the beginning of training camp. But I am optimistic that something is going to get done prior to training camp starting. And the past week or so, 2.5 weeks, will be put in the rearview mirror, and everyone is going to be happy. And I said this, I think I said this to Anthony Armstrong yesterday. It's either Anthony or Jay Gruden. If you missed those conversations, they're available on the Odyssey app and wherever it is that you get your podcasts. My guess is that as soon as Terry signs that contract, they're going to take him to the photo room in the facility. Nice backdrop. I don't know that it'll be the Metro backdrop that they used for the photo shoots when they unveiled the new uniforms. Well, the new old uniforms. But my guess is as soon as they sign Terry, you are going to see him in that burgundy and gold uniform that we have all grown to very much love. For some of you, you grew up loving that uniform. For others of us, it's just nice to have it back. But my guess is as soon as pen hits paper, that Terry McLaurin is going to be laced up in that new burgundy and gold, the real burgundy and gold.
That picture is going to hit like crack.
It is going to, my soul desperately needs that picture. I mean, maybe he's going to follow suit with what we have seen from now multiple NFL players, not just this offseason, Max, but within the past couple of days and weeks, maybe he breaks his own news. I will say, so TJ Watt broke his news. He posted on Instagram. It was himself in a jersey. He was flexing. I would assume he had just sacked somebody on the field, right? So he posted on Instagram yesterday when he signed that contract. I then saw Terry McLaurin post a story. Oh, my heart rate spiked a little bit. I was like, yes, here we go.
Something.
Every time that from now until this contract gets signed, I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram. I've actually deleted it off my phone because I scroll it too much. Look at me being healthy and all. But every time I see a Terry McLaurin post on Instagram now, whether it just be a regular post or a story, my expectations as we get closer to training camp are going to be that he is breaking his own news. We have a wonderful amount of beat reporters in town, but it just seems to be the new wave that NFL players are on where they like to break their own news, taking the information and their story into their own hands. I like that, actually. I think they've done a really good job with that. But every time I now see a Terry McLaurin post, this is where my brain goes.
Yeah, same. I clicked expecting to see something of note, and I guess it kind of was. Terry and Tress Way are in a fishing competition.
You know what? That is what it was. It was Terry and Tress, which is, that is positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Tress Way is on the team, right? And, like, they have a history together. Obviously, they played together for a while. My understanding, I don't know if this is 100% correct, but my understanding is that prior to Jaden Daniels coming here, Terry McLaurin was the favorite player for many, if not all, of Tressway's children. Because I distinctly remember a video a couple of years ago on social media where they like met for the first time, and Tress's kids do what all kids do when they meet someone they really admire, which is they just completely like shrink. You know,
yeah,
it's just what kids do. I did that when I was younger. I'm sure you did that when you were younger. It's just Absolutely. A natural thing. But it is nice to see those two hanging out, you know. That's positive. It's better than negative. I'll take anything that's better than negative right now, at least as it relates to the Terry McLaurin contract situation. I'm still confident. I'm still confident that something is going to get done. Now, this TJ Watt contract, that's a big contract.
Yeah, so I was, when the news broke yesterday, I was like, 123 over 4, that's a lot. And then I did the math and I saw $41 million.
123 over 3 years. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Good for him, man.
I mean, great for him. I don't think that actually impacts anything about Terry other than the fact of laying to rest our favorite topic of would you trade Terry for TJ Watt, which if I remember, the response seemed to be rather split on that discussion, at least in terms of some of the fans that were calling in. I would have taken TJ Watt, but I don't know that TJ Watt, I don't know that I consider him the best defensive end or the best pass rusher in the league. He's getting paid like it because he's in that class. Like, there's very much a tier system with these NFL contracts, which is why the timing for the Terry thing hasn't rubbed me too much the wrong way. He's not in that tier of guys that reset the market. He's not. There's like three guys, I think, that can reset the market. A.J. Brown might be the next one if Philadelphia wants to do another extension with him. It feels like they've already done at least two since they traded for him. So I don't know that there's another one of those in the cards. But Terry is not in that upper echelon top tier of receivers with like your Jamar Chases, your Justin Jeffersons. I don't believe the Tyreek Hill is there anymore, but like your A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lambs. So you knew that they were never, they being Washington, was never going to reset the market with Terry. And because you're not going to reset the market, that does give the team a little bit more leverage because you don't have to rush it as much. If you plan on resetting the market, like if Pittsburgh signed TJ Watt before Myles Garrett, they would have saved $2 million per year because all you had to do was match or top Max Crosby's number. And if you time that right, maybe you save $4 million, you just give him $37 million. But because they waited and Cleveland didn't, they give Myles Garrett $40 million. And then Cincinnati put Jamar Chase over Myles Garrett. There was this extra amount of pressure for Pittsburgh to then give TJ Watt 40, well, I think it's 41.2 or something like that. So it's just edging out Jamar Chase. But TJ Watt, he had 19 sacks in 2023. He only had 11 in 17 games, 11 and a half in 17 games in 2024, only 5.5 in 2022. Now, he was hurt for some of that. And I know, you know, he does some things, he means some things to that roster. Outside of just what he does in terms of the sack numbers. Again, he is like this face of the franchise kind of a deal. They're similar to that of Terry McLaurin. But I think the leverage is still very much with Adam Peters. And this is kind of fun for somebody like me that at least is taking this lens of trying to figure out how Adam Peters operates. Like, I'm fascinated with the idea of being an NFL general manager and being one who has learned from what they do in San Francisco, who has learned from what they did in Denver when Denver was at a point of success, learned from what they did in New England when New England was at a point of success. New England is very different from like San Francisco in this particular comparison because Bill Belichick doesn't care about anybody's thoughts, feelings, or opinions. He will cut anybody. It doesn't matter. I remember distinctly he was cutting Lawyer Malloy, who was like one of the best safeties in the league during their early Super Bowl runs, and he just did it like it was nothing. I don't think Adam Peters is going to be that reckless, so to speak, or that cold-hearted, but San Francisco always had this tendency to wait. They were never first out of the gate when it came to paying guys, but they always paid their guys. So that's one of the main reasons I feel pretty good about this. The waiting game sucks because you want this deal to be done as soon as possible. It would have been great if Terry was a full participant in mini camps, but San Francisco always pays their guys. So I'm not too worried about the timing thing. I do just want it to be done as soon as training camp begins, because once you start to miss training camp, and my guess is that Terry would hold out, not hold in, just based off of how mini camp went. You know, listening back to some of the press conference stuff, he made it seem like he had to leave. He didn't have to. That was a conversation with him and his representations, and that was the decision that they came to. But it wasn't like I have to leave. It was I'm deciding to leave because I feel like leaving would benefit me in terms of what I'm trying to achieve here. Once you start missing days of training camp, then you'll see a little bit of movement in the panic meter. Not a lot, but a little bit. If you don't get something done by the end of training camp, then that thing is going to be skyrocketing all over the place. But it is important to remind everyone they have done this before here with Sam Cosmi last offseason. You know, this whole Adam Peters regime was very, very new to us here. And Sam Cosmi was a really, really good player, still is a really good player. Not quite viewed in the same lens as Terry McLaurin, although it was very clear that Sam Cosmi was on a trajectory to be very, very good and, you know, solidifying that right guard position. But they paid him in September. Sam did all of the training camp last year, all of the mini camp. He didn't have a fifth-year option. We started to think, if I remember correctly, we started to think and maybe take some calls on being concerned that Sam Cosmi would be Brandon Scherff 2.0, where you get into this franchise tag thing, and then after a year or two with a franchise tag, you're just both sides are so upset at one another that they go their separate ways. Sam didn't do that. He signed his contract in September. He's going to be here for the long term, right? I would prefer they sign Terry before September, but we do have that one data point of knowing that they are going to pay their guys. They kept Bobby Wagner this offseason, didn't have to. They kept him. They kept Zach Ertz this offseason, didn't have to. They kept him. Those are two guys that the coaching staff, the front office has been very, very vocal about being Commanders, right? How many times have we heard that over the last year and change about we want Commanders and the people that match the culture and the energy that we expect to bring? Terry is that guy. That's one of the things. Like, I don't think that this front office is a bunch of hypocrites. I do not. So because they have preached about being a Commander and Terry is that prototypical Commander, I am still confident that a deal ultimately gets done. It's just a question of what the numbers are going to look like. Does he get over $30 million? Does he get more than $30 million? How many years are it? What are the guarantees? This is going to be Terry's last big contract. You know, second extension, but third contract in the NFL. Most great NFL players, you might get, if you're a truly elite of the elite, you might get a fourth big contract. But, like, that's for quarterbacks only. Most players get three really big contracts, so I don't fault him for trying to squeeze as much out of it as possible, especially when you consider that this organization has the cap space to be able to handle the kind of money that Terry is asking for. In terms of the number itself, Ian Rapoport has done some really good reporting on that. You will hear what he said about that number, and we will start to take your call. So line up on the phones at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Do you think that Terry McLaurin signs his extension prior to the beginning of training camp? It's our poll question as well at the Team 980 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at the Denton Day. I am Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show. We talk numbers on the Terry contract next.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall.
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.